Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Pete and they don't call him Davey Boy for nothing, throw out their best replacements for injured Freddie Anderson. They answer a bunch of listener questions and run through the Tuesday slate with their DFS plays, best bets, and situational value spots. It's the Tuesday edition.
How's it going, everybody? Jensen and Dave Satriano in the house talking fantasy hockey on this Tuesday morning. And Davey, you are the goalie master, so many different people are wondering what to make of this Frederick Anderson injury right now.
So I was at the Stars-Rangers game last night, and I got home to see this news, and I say, Freddie Anderson, the guy plays more games than anyone else all year. He has to be one of the top five most important players to his team. If he's out for a while, Pete, fantasy seasons could be ruined here.
Right. I started a fresh week in our main weekly work league. I had Freddie Anderson. I had been playing Jacob Markstrom before. Now Anderson is probably out for the rest of the week. Let's be real. They already recalled Kaskasuo. So that's going to be a situation that lingers on for as long as Anderson is out. I don't know that they have the in-house horses to replace Anderson. So if Anderson is out for even 2 weeks to a month, I think this team needs to make a trade.
Yeah, you mentioned their backups, whether it's Michael Hutchinson or whoever. I think they're 4-9-1. 3.60 goals against, .880 save percentage.
Right.
That's not going to get it done.
No.
If he's out for a while, they're going to have to go on the trade market and get someone.
There's nothing good about Freddie Anderson going down for the Toronto Maple Leafs. The only bright side from my perspective and Petey's perspective is one of our best bets last night was the over in the Toronto-Florida game.
Yeah.
And Anderson gets hurt, and what happens? Hutchinson proceeds 4 unanswered goals. The Panthers win the game 5-3. But as far as Anderson goes, I was thinking about players that teams can lose that are just absolutely devastating. And, you know, a bunch of guys come to mind, you know, Connor McDavid, of course, McKinnon. But for that Toronto Maple Leafs team, considering the backup goaltending situation, it's a huge blow.
And Barkov was now playing in that game, and he's another one of those guys that is so valuable to his team. You take him out, things look so drastically different. But certainly, yeah, Freddie Anderson. I didn't even mention Hutchinson because I'm not picking that guy up. I mean, it's just that simple. Kaskasuo was decent in the AHL for the Marlies. They're a competitive team, so maybe you just monitor that situation. But in terms of outside replacement options, who better than Brian Elliott? Another shutout, another bagel for him.
Well, he's the number one guy I was looking at because he's very readily available if you're in a mm-hmm. league. You know, we've talked about other guys, Merzlikins and those guys, but they're not out there. Elliott's a guy who's out there. Even when Hart comes back, you have to say, because of the injury, it's at least going to be a split or he'll get the starts. He's my number one replacement right now.
Okay, nice.
You just took the words out of my mouth because I was going to ask you who your number one guy is. So I'll adjust a little improv. Who's your number two outside replacement, Davey or Petey, if he wants to chime in?
Well, I know Pete, I agree with this. Pete mentioned James Reimer, and you got to look at the way he's been playing too.
Yeah, the Hurricanes are a fringe playoff team. James Reimer's got a .920 save percentage on the season and has outperformed Peter Mrazek, has, I think, 3 shutouts on the season. James Reimer, for a timeshare guy, that's up there with the league leaders. So, yeah, if he's available, that's a good one. Another one, just to stay ahead of the curve, I think, is Joonas Korpisalo, just because when he comes back, that's another borderline playoff team, and he's going to be out for some playing time compared to Elvis. So they're going to work well together.
Excuse me, when does Corpy come back? Anyone have a little timetable for Corpy?
So the first prognosis, I think whatever it was, 4 to 6 weeks or 2 to 4 weeks, I can't remember, but I remember looking it up, and the earliest it could be was like the first week of February. So that's where we are now. So give or take a week or two, it's probably coming back in the next couple of weeks.
Well, the two other guys I'll just mention is Koskinen, Edmonton, and Jake Allen, too. I mean, he's still very out there, and mm-hmm. he's been playing well. So those are 4 guys that are definitely out there if you need them. And other injury news, we have Darcy Kuemper. This guy's supposed to be back there ready. I don't know. He was a Vezina guy. We need him back because I have him, and he's going to be causing trouble for me. I say I activate him. Then they're like, he's not playing. You know, I don't want their backup, so he's another guy. We need him back. We need Korpisalo back.
We need him back. Looks like you need him back, Davey, and he's pounding the table. Davey's fired up about this. This is right up your wheelhouse, right? This is this goalie conversation.
Goalie
you are just, you love this.
ears are perked up and ready to go. I love it.
I love it. And Antti Raanta has been pretty brutal his past four or five starts while Kemper was out. He was out himself as well. But, of course, he looked really good. I watched a lot of the Saturday night Coyotes-Blackhawks game. He made the Scorpion save. He sent it to the shootout, robbed Kane and Taves a couple of times. Of course, was no match for them in the shootout with all that open space. But Raanta is another guy. Like, even when Kemper comes back, it'll take a little bit of the pressure off him. Raanta is not a number one goalie anymore, but could be a 920-plus save percentage guy for a backup-slash-timeshare.
See, I think Kemper's the guy where he could – what do they have, one win in nine games? They're kind of going in the wrong direction now. So that kind of could provide a jolt for them, I think. And hopefully in the next week or so, he'll be back.
And Kemper was, what, 929? With a heavy workload.
Yeah.
That was not really a timeshare when Darcy Kemper was healthy. So, yeah, that's worth noting. If you could trade for Kemper now, I know some teams have three or four good goalies and maybe could afford to part ways with one of them. So now is the time to buy low on Darcy Kemper, not because of performance, but just because of injury impact and recency bias, I think.
And we're getting out of the bye week zone now, so most teams have at least three or four games a week, so that's off the table now, and it's just whichever players are going to be better. The schedule is probably similar right now.
Before we get into some Tuesday games and some general themes and fan questions, who do you think is most likely to be traded for if the Maple Leafs do make a move? You think it's Georgiev or somebody else?
I would say it's probably him. I think he would be a good fit there. Their offense is better than what the Rangers have, and the defense is shaky now. But still, the Maple Leafs are a team where they're not going to go far if they don't have the goaltending. Georgiev's kind of gotten his footing in New York. You know, the three-goalie system isn't working out, so I think the sooner the better for the Rangers' sake, too. And the Maple Leafs could definitely use him if Anderson's out for any length of time.
It's amazing. We've been talking about this New York Rangers goalie situation, Lundqvist contract, the three-goalie scenario. I mean, is there a more perfect place? Is there anyone that is out there that needs Georgiev as badly as Toronto at this point? But again, I'm not sure what the Rangers are going to do. It's tricky. It's a tricky scenario. I don't think they should get rid of Georgiev. I really don't, but they kind of have to because of the Lundqvist scenario.
What do you think about the LA Kings goalies? I know Quick is like solidified there. They're probably not going to trade a player like that. And he probably has a no movement clause. I haven't checked, but there's Campbell as well, but that's one team that's like dead out of it in the water. So, maybe that's another team that could go coast to coast and, send a goalie over to Toronto in these dire straits.
You're thinking that, but I'm looking at San Jose too. They could really use Georgiev as a backup or as a goalie. And Aaron Dell, he's been playing pretty well. Martin Jones, you won't even remember this guy anymore. I mean, they're the team that I think has to do something, whether it's ship one of those guys out or bring someone else in for next season, because that team's in trouble too.
I'll end that conversation at this. The Sharks have to try to get back a first or a second round pick pretty much for whoever they can right now, because they are in the lottery conversation and they don't have a first round pick this year. It goes to Ottawa.
And before we get to the nice Tuesday slate, I got to get Davey's thoughts. He was in the house at MSG last night. I don't know how many hockey games you go to a year, Davey, but it has to be, the number is astronomical. But how about the Stephen Johns story? Not fantasy relevant, really, but I just wanted your perspective. You were in the building, Stephen Johns, concussion, comes back, scores a goal, family in the building. That's a nice little story, huh?
This is a nice story for the kid. I mean, he missed the entire last season because of headaches, concussion related. And he actually said he didn't know if he would ever play again. And, you know, when you have those head injuries, it's definitely a thought. Came back a couple weeks ago. He got his first goal yesterday. I think he got an assist. And the fact, as you mentioned, his parents were there. Just a great moment for the kid after all he's been through.
Right. And Davey, I know you were there as a fan, right? You were not there for work, but were you tempted when this story was unfolding in front of you to get the notepad out and go into the locker room and get some quotes and work on a story afterwards? I know you're committed to the craft.
I was a little tempted. I said, you know what? I can get the assist here. Send it to someone at the office and say, hey, we got a story here, you know.
Dallas is on the second of a back-to-back on Tuesday night at the Islanders at Barclays Center. That's a big-time matchup for sure and a huge storyline in that game. Joe Pavelski had the overtime goal over the weekend. The winner, he had two power play goals on Monday against the Rangers. It was the Rangers without Chris Kreider, but it's still worth noting, and Joe Pavelski proving he's not quite done just yet.
I was also at the Devil Stars game on Saturday, and Pavelski scored the game winner in overtime. So he has scored three straight goals for them, but you're right. As a owner of him on my daily teams, I had benched him for a while because he just wasn't producing. And I think now Dallas is playing the way we thought they would. It seems like things are clicking. Pavelski, it took a little more time than we thought and hoped, but I think I agree with you. I think he's back. This is the kind of guy you want during crunch time.
And Dallas last night, another one of our best bets at a nice price, minus 140. And what happened? Exactly what we said was going to happen. They are just a superior team. They're a heavier team. They have more skill. And Lundqvist, he was awful. And the Dallas Stars rolled the Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it the other day when they played Detroit in the second game. Lundqvist got a quote-unquote shutout, but Larkin alone could have scored two goals in that game, and they were knocking at the door all night. So, and that's by far the worst team in the league. So it wasn't surprising at all, as Bob said. Fan question about that time. Drop Duchesne for Pavelski. What do you think? I think that's like a lateral move right now because Duchesne's been a big disappointment. So might as well ride the hot hand here.
I would definitely do it, but to me, it's one of those things where you have to not attach how much their salary is in real life because you're saying, oh, Duchesne's making $8 million. Like, I have to commit to this guy in my fantasy team. But you don't. You're not paying the guy the money. You can drop him if you want to drop him. Pavelski's the hotter guy right now. He's on the better team. Nashville's going the wrong direction. So, yes, if that were the case, I would say, why not? Go for it. Like you said, he's the hot hand right now. Worth it.
And I gave my thoughts on Kiefer Bellows, who could make his NHL debut tonight for the Islanders, who are only 1 point into playoff position after how well they started that long point streak earlier in the season. It's all balanced out here, and now they're in crunch time, and they're kind of relying on this young player to spark their offense. Are you a believer in this player, or are you kind of wait and see type thing?
I'm a wait-and-see guy. It's tough because I think he had, what, like 12 goals and 13? He was on a tear in the AHL.
Stretch.
Kind of calmed down. But you mentioned, if you take out that 15-0-2 stretch for the Islanders, they're under 500. And right now they're, what, clinging to a wild card spot. So I would say it's a wait-and-see approach. But tonight against Dallas, for daily fantasy, he's got to be pretty cheap, I would imagine. So probably worth it tonight. But I'd wait a couple games before deciding if I want him on my yearly team.
Right, they're definitely at risk of missing the playoffs when you consider there's 2 months of the season left. It's not they just have to survive 1 month and try to stumble in. I mean, they have to get it together. They have to decide whether or not to make a trade before the deadline. DFS-wise, Kiefer Bellows, if he's in the contest, go cheap and hope he plays in the top six, either with Brock Nelson or Matthew Barzal. It's a good spot either way. I hope they put him in the top six.
Right, that was the same deal as with Kovalchuk when he first signed with Montreal. He was 3,700, whatever it was. And those are the types of guys you might as well take a flyer on them, build the lineup elsewhere. And if they reward you, then they reward you and you win.
Yeah, no doubt. So Avalanche at Sabres, you got, I saw a really good note. We had it in the DFS pick story for today. Ryan Graves had 10 block shots the other day. And this is a guy that's been covering different categories, especially he's well known for the plus minus category this year. But 10 blocks in a game, has that happened across the league this year? We'd have to look it up. That's crazy.
I think last year it happened once, but Graves is a guy I picked up because of his plus minus, and I'm in a blocks league. So I got 10 blocks for him, which is outdoing the entire, pretty much won me the matchup. Had more blocks than the other team had the whole week. So you're right. That was nice to see out of him. But when you have a guy like this who's known for covering mainly one or two categories and can throw a game like this out there, that definitely helps.
Yeah, I'm sad to say I had Ryan Graves on one of my benches for that Saturday game against the Flyers when he dropped 10 blocks. So I'll be lamenting that at the end of the season. If I right, 10 blocks is that's, in a roto league could make a difference at the end of the year. So, yeah, I'm disappointed to say that. Jeff Skinner does not have a point in his first three or four games since coming back. Are you a Jeff Skinner owner in any leagues? And if you were, would you drop this guy? Because there's some hot guys out there, whether it's like Cirelli, Yamamoto, Jake Virtanen. Some of these guys out there are waiting to be picked up.
I do not have Skinner in any of my leagues, but I think you're right. He's a guy that I would just part ways with. Buffalo, Jack Eichel's like the only guy, pretty much the only guy. I mean, Dahlin, you'd say, okay, risk the line. But there's really no one there. The goalies, no one on defense besides those guys. So Skinner, the injury hurt, but he wasn't even performing that well before. So I would say
he's not playing with Eichel either right now.
So that's big. I would say time to go.
Three words. Cut the cord. Bye-bye, Skinner. Bye-bye, Skinner. If you're on my team, as Pete mentioned, plenty of players are playing really well right now that you could pick up. Why are you holding on to Skinner? Bye-bye, Skinner.
This is in October. You know, I mean, we're not, hey, we'll wait a month and see with PK Subban. We'll wait 2 months. No, we're in February. So you got like 6 weeks left pretty much for your entire season, or at least to get into the playoffs. So you can't have those kinds of performances if you want to win.
Yeah, I hate to flip-flop on Skinner because I was excited for him to come back. I thought he would have maybe 2 weeks where they could put him with Eichel, but they haven't done that for whatever reason. So cut the cord on him. Another guy to pick up from this game, Andrei Burakovsky, has kind of been a roller coaster ride this season, but he's got 10 points in his past 7 games, plays in the top 6. When he's hot, you're going to want a piece of that guy.
He's a guy that I had. I think I've dropped him like 2 or 3 times, him and then Donskoy too, but, you know, he was hurt. Burakovsky, yeah. I like the upsides there. Like you said, with those guys that he's going to play with, he can get a point a game just by being on the ice with them. So that's a guy that he's readily available. If I had Skinner, bye-bye. Bye-bye, Jeff Skinner.
I love it. So another guy too, Josh Archibald. We mentioned on the last show, if you didn't hear it, he's playing with Connor McDavid. He's got 7 in his past 7, and he's another guy. Even without the familiarity of a player like that, you would maybe be inclined to pick up Archibald and drop Jeff Skinner. Not to rain on Skinner's parade here, but there are many better options out there for sure.
Yeah, and if, as you said, if you had a Skinner, you can even use that slot as a you know, I'll pick up a guy, drop it. You know, like you pick up Archibald,
yeah, the
and after a week,
spot.
Right, streaming spot, pick up Archibald for a week, drop him, pick up the next guy. So that's also not a bad option. You got to go with what's hot that week.
What do you think about selling high on Jacob Markstrom right now? The Canucks are leading the Pacific Division. They're 14-3-1 in the past 18 games. He started the majority of those games. I've seen some offers out there. People can fetch a lot in return for Jacob Markstrom. Your thoughts on his value right now, goalie master?
I think the Canucks are going to win the Pacific Division, which would be great because it would be nice to see them in the playoffs again. Markstrom's been great, as you said, but if you can get some of those offers, I don't know what exactly they are, but if you can get a lot for him, there's other goalies out there. I'm sure you also have another decent starter on your team with Markstrom, most likely, but that's a perfect situation where if you need help elsewhere in the lineup, sure, you can trade him and get someone else in return.
And I mentioned how the Canucks are hot and Jake Virtanen, he's in the top 100 forwards right now. That means bad things for Brock Besser, who's not on that Pedersen line anymore. He's not even on the Bo Horvat line anymore. He's on a separate third line, last I checked, with Adam Gaudette. He's in a fantasy tailspin. He went from like in the 30s in the forward rankings to like around 50 over the past 2 weeks. So Brock Besser, a player we've been a big fan of in previous years, a high-end goal scorer, he's kind of left it on his own on an island right now, and to fend for himself, it's not going well.
You know, I don't think he's been the same since that rookie season when he had that back injury, because last year the points really dipped. This season, it's just not there. I love him as a player, as a human being. He's one of the greatest guys, but you're right. He's just not producing him. When he's on the third line, that's not good for them, because he and Pedersen, they had the chemistry. He has chemistry with some of those other guys, Horvat, but it's not good for Brock right now.
Now, I'll give you a comparison, because another guy who's falling hard in the forward rankings is Johnny Gaudreau. Who would you rather have for the rest of the season? As much as we're talking negative things about Besser because of his lineup placement, like, you never know. A game or two, they lose in a row, he could be back on the top line and then score half a goal per game the rest of the season. He's capable of that. So who do you like more, Besser or Johnny Gaudreau?
I would take Besser personally. Gaudreau, this has been, he's a guy that was drafted in the first round. Could have been in the top 10 for some people. Mm-hmm. He had, what, 90-something points last year? I think he was almost at 100.
Maybe 99, I think.
And now it's just, this is a player where I don't think many people are dropping him just because they feel like, hey, I drafted this guy so high. But Besser, to me, would be the more likely to have a turnaround the rest of the season. But that's a tough one.
Yeah, the Flame, even Sean Monahan, like, is really down in the rankings, like the Yahoo rankings. He's barely in the top 200 at this point. So you get used to seeing those two guys forming an elite duo, but it hasn't been the same this year. And as you get into February, man, you're getting closer to the fantasy playoffs. You got to have confidence in your roster. I don't think anybody has confidence in either of those two guys based on what they've seen compared to previous years, because they were like a top five, top 10 duo in the league as recently as last year.
I think I'd say if you have either of those guys, try to trade them, put them on the block. Someone probably wants them. And then if not, there's someone else out there. Go ahead, cut the cord.
All right, Davey, let's ping pong some players for the rest of the slate. I'm looking at the Lightning. It's probably my watch game of the night, Golden Knights at Lightning. I want to see if the Golden Knights are up to this task. But for fantasy purposes and DFS, there are so many streaming options from Tampa Bay. It's crazy. They have, of course, Anthony Cirelli, who we've been touting lately. He joined the top 100 forward rankings this week. Andre Palat, one of the biggest risers, and he's playing with Cirelli on the second line. And Tampa Bay's offense, I think you can start looking at them as a top flight team again, a top two or three team in the NHL from a fantasy angle.
They have that depth rolling now, which is something that wasn't there early on. It is there now. I'm looking at a guy, he's not playing tonight, but Matt Niskanen, the guy has 7 points in seven games. He's getting blocks. He's getting shots on goal. When you look at the Flyers' defense, you say they have other guys, Provorov. I mean, Gostisbehere hasn't been producing. But for Niskanen, that's a little nice, 7-7 on the Flyers team, which is what we said, 6-1-1. They're scoring now. So he's a guy that I had circled and said, I might want this guy.
He has good category coverage. James mentioned yesterday on the waiver wire show that he's playing a lot with Provorov. He scored an empty net goal for the Flyers on Monday to seal the deal against the Red Wings 3-0 shutout. And the defenseman position is weak, right? I mean, I even see nobody's flocking to the Minnesota Wild right now, but I've seen questions, should I drop this guy for Matt Dumba? A defenseman with category coverage is extremely valuable, especially in the deeper leagues. And that's something that Dumba provides, also something that Niskanen provides.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Dumba, for me, I mean, it's been very underwhelming, especially after the contract that he signed. But he, as you mentioned, he's one of those guys like a best. He can just go off and, 2 points. He shoots, blocks. He can cover those categories. You can win a week just based on how this guy plays.
Right. Not many defensemen could go on like a 3 or 4 game goal streak. And Matt Dumba is one of those guys based on previous seasons and hasn't really, he's just scratched the surface offensively this year and obviously had that major injury last year that cut his season short. But it would be nice to see him finish the season strong because there's not much else in terms of bright spots in Minnesota right now.
You're right. And as we're looking at a forward there that I like, Jake DeBrusque, I have him on a couple of my teams. To me, I picked him up as just an injury replacement early on when the Bruins had some problems. But he's quietly had a nice season for them, and it just seems like he's getting the important goals. He's picking up some points. So to me, he's a guy that I really like.
And he's become a standalone player to me. Like, he's not just a product of David Krejci. Some nights, if Krejci's banged up, which he has been past couple of months, he's been day-to-day. 3 or 4 times probably, and he plays well with Charlie Coyle when he's with him. He plays on the first power play unit a lot with the big dogs, plays well with Krejci when he is in the lineup. So DeBrusque is not contingent on any lineup placement, which is good to see for a young player like that. Hasn't fully hit his ceiling yet, so you want to be on board when he does. 4-game point streak with at least 3 shots on goal in each of those 4 games. That's good coverage.
Yeah, you need those kind of guys. You need that, especially at this time. So you're right. He's the type of player. You can find guys like him. That's what we want right now.
Any other players?
Oh, yeah, for sure. What do you think of Alex Iafallo for the Kings? I know they're a fantasy, they're a dormant fantasy team other than Kopitar, but Iafallo had a hat trick last week, 5 goals in his past 5 games. The kid can play, and he's a fixture with Kopitar, so it's worth noting.
I'm not really a huge fan. I did watch the hat trick game, 5-5, but the Kings just can't score. I mean, how is it they score 1-2 goals a game? How is this going to last? I just don't see it.
I'll let you guys continue ping-ponging some players around, but since we're on this game, it's one of Bob Bender's locks of the night. I really like it. I would take the Capitals on the puck line tonight. They've lost 2 in a row, I believe the Capitals have. L.A. coming to D.C. Capitals very good. I think they win the game 3-1, something like that. I think you'll have a chance at the end of the game with the empty net. to win by more than
extend it to two goals.
There you go.
For sure. And they could also win 6-1 very easily. Nobody would be surprised by that. You were talking about how close Pittsburgh is to Washington yesterday. I looked it up. So Pittsburgh is 4 points behind the Capitals. They've really closed the gap, and they have a game in hand. So Washington needs to win this game. A couple teams tonight need to win their game, including the Islanders. The Islanders play Dallas at home, and then the Kings at home, and then they have a really tough road back-to-back. So some of these teams need to take care of business. I think they will.
Hey, the points are precious right now, and you would not have thought that, right? You would not have thought that Pittsburgh would be sort of right in the rearview mirror of the Washington Capitals, considering how well the Capitals have played, but they're right there, and the Capitals do have to win. They can't do this country club scenario. They have to win the game, and I think they put the pedal to the metal tonight. I would lock that one in. I think the price is like plus money. Capitals win by more than a goal tonight.
It's almost a scenario with Drew Doughty day-to-day where it's hard to imagine. I know the Kings have exceeded our expectations sometimes in individual games. Like they took Tampa Bay to overtime. That road game comes to mind. Similar spot to this. But without Drew Doughty, I mean, go all over the Caps.
I agree with you there. But there's a game that I'm looking at. It may not be the sexiest on the slate, but Predators-Jets. You talk about teams needing points. I mean, both those teams need to win that game to stay in the playoff race. You wouldn't have thought at the beginning of the season that they'd both be in this situation. Maybe you thought one wouldn't be in the playoffs, but they're both in the wrong direction right now, and that's a big game.
Yeah, the Jets need some clarity on that Bufflin situation. I know there were some reports flying around, people talking about maybe he's discussing terminating his contract or something along those lines. That needs to end one way or the other, and they just need to move on. It's one of those situations that's just hanging over their heads. If they want to hang around, if they want to make a move at the deadline, they need to know whether or not Big Buff's coming back. So hopefully that gets resolved soon.
It's amazing that that has not been resolved, considering how long it's dragged out. Davey, forgive me because I might not have been listening as I was looking at the big board. Have you given your goalie of the night tonight, the lock? The goaltender you're focused in on DFS, and when you need a win, you need a win. Oh, Davey's looking. He's having a hard time. Nothing jumping out at you. Give me something, Davey.
I'm looking at the slate now. You think I would have prepared a little bit. I have one guy he's very expensive, but my top two tonight, Bishop. The Islanders are losing that game. I know the Stars played last night. Bishop's going to win. But I think the Habs, no Carey Price, but you know what? The Devils, they don't have it, man. I've seen this too many times. I went to two games. I would say Habs goalie, whoever they throw in against the Devils.
You went to two games recently. You've gone to like 30 games throughout the course of the season. I was saying yesterday, Davey, and this is a feather in your cap. I know a lot of sports fans. There is no one that supports their team more than you support the Devils. Going out to Jersey, you live in Queens. I mean, that whole commute. And every night you're at the Rock supporting the team. It's incredible.
Well, I also have tickets for tonight's Devils Canadians game. I don't know if I'm going to go. 4 and 6 nights, guys. That would be a lot. That's like playing. I mean,
That's a lot.
That would be a lot. We'll have to see. I'm a game time decision.
Your apartment misses you. And also, you're willingly taking NJ Transit to that place. So
that's true.
It's a great arena once you're there, but yeah, it's NJ Transit. So
at some point, the Devils need to put a little plaque of you up in the concourse or something. One of the most devoted fans of all time. Petey was chomping at the bit when I tossed the goalie question to Davey. What do you got, Petey?
I like the Flames goalie, whoever they play against the Sharks. I just think the Sharks had a backbreaker over the weekend when they actually played. They didn't play so well against Tampa Bay, but that was a 1-0 game late. Aaron Dell was playing out of his mind. You lose a game like that, then it becomes 3-0. I just feel like this week with the Sharks, two games, both on the road in Calgary and Edmonton, I don't see them winning either one of those games, especially not tonight. Calgary needs the points.
I wouldn't be against taking the Flames on the puck line either. They're a big price. I think you're right. I think the Flames win the game, and we'll have a chance at the end with the empty net. Mm-hmm. Davey, any other games you're focused in on? Petey, any games you're focused in on for best bets? I'll give you mine after you guys chime in. Davey's foaming at the mouth a little bit. What do you got, Davey?
My best bet tonight, I think the Coyotes turn this thing around. They beat the Oilers at home. To me,
took the words right out of my mouth. That was one of mine.
You got the prices. I don't know what they are, but I feel like the Coyotes are going to win this one. I don't think they're favorites. I could be wrong.
They are favorites, and that's why I'm taking them, because you would think, considering how well the Oilers have played, that it would probably be around even money. But the Arizona Coyotes, minus 125, I would take the Yotes as well tonight. I think they got to right the ship, and I think they do tonight.
And the thing is, I mean, they played the Flames. They're coming off that emotional game against the Flames, right? And then you got to play the Coyotes. It's a division opponent, but it's just not the same. I don't think they wake up for it. Arizona needs these
points. You know McDavid and Draisaitl are playing a round of golf out in Arizona. You know it, and you know Arizona is hungry. Hungry like a wolf. Hungry like a coyote. Hungry like a coyote for a win.
So is Dave Tippett, though. That's his old stomping grounds. I know he's played the Oilers. I know he's played the Coyotes this year. I'm not sure if he's played them
in
Arizona.
I don't
think so. So, yeah, look out for that storyline. I think the Oilers will win that game, unless Darcy Kemper returns. Maybe they know something we don't know, and that's why that line is like that. Maybe Darcy Kemper's coming back tonight. We'll wait and see. But if no Kemper, I'm all Oilers right now for that game and just in general.
So what would be your lock if you had to choose? Not Coyotes, not Oilers.
Flames over Sharks. Okay. That's my lock. I'm interested to see if the Blackhawks, with how well they've played, 6-1-0, can just walk into Minnesota, score three or four goals, and win that game like they should. I think they should start Robin Leonard in that game. We've been bouncing around with that one. Crawford's played decent lately. Team's playing so well right now. But start Leonard in that game, come out with a win, and prove to me and everybody else that you're a playoff caliber team.
So there you have it. Maybe I should give my picks before you guys give yours, because you're kind of stealing my thunder a little bit. I'll take the Blackhawks tonight. Two teams going in opposite directions. Blackhawks flying high. Wild have sort of, spun out of control a little bit, haven't played that great their last few games. Give me the Blackhawks tonight, third lock of the evening. Let's go.
I got one more for you. We didn't talk about this game, but Hurricanes at Blues. I think the Hurricanes are going to win. Justin Faulks playing the old team. Joel Edmondson's returning. He's getting his championship ring tonight. Okay. I think the Hurricanes pull the upset here tonight.
And Justin Faulk, right, against his old team. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting game. I don't really have a pulse on it, so I'll stay away. I'm just looking at the lines. Chicago is underdogs at Minnesota for some reason, so I like that one even more now. And then, I'm surprised to see Vancouver leading the Pacific, playing so well, 14-3-1 in the past 18, and they are big underdogs. Boston Bruins minus 195. I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but that's a good value pick there for a toss-up game.
Little value spot. And listen, just caution. Caution here on this Blackhawks-Minnesota game, because I'm high on the Blackhawks, but I think the line is completely fishy. And with the Minnesota Wild being favorite, in fact, the line is going up and people are betting Chicago and the line is going up in favor of Minnesota. But with that being said, sometimes you just got to go with your gut. I think the Blackhawks win the game, but be cautious. It could be a trap. It could be a trap. You got to overcome that. You got to go with your instincts, and that's what I'm doing tonight.
All right, Davey, that's a wrap. Great show. Thanks for coming on, as always, man.
This was fun. We got the trade deadline, less than 3 weeks away, so we're right there.
Davey, thank you so much, Davey. They don't call him Davey Boy for nothing. They don't call him Davey Boy for nothing. And you know what? If you want that plaque in the Devil's Concourse there at the Prudential Center, you get to the game tonight. I don't care how many games you've gone to prior. Suck it up, hydrate, and let's go. Get to the game.
We're going to do a live show one day from Prudential Center, and Davey's going to be with us. So that's just a bold prediction for the future, and, you know, we'll do it one day.
I'll be shaking hands on the concourse. Everyone knows
what
me.
What do they got? The William Hill Sportsbook, right?
That's nice. I've been there. It's
okay.
Nice. Yes.
So there you go. That's right up our alley. William Hill Sportsbook. We get a little corner there, a little lounge. We do the program pregame, and then we get a chance to relax in the corner there and watch the game and have some fun. So I think that's a great idea, Petey, and we'll investigate. Inspector Gadget will investigate the scenario.
My calendar will be open whenever we want to do that.
So. Sounds good. And you wrote a trade deadline preview. The trade deadline is Monday, February 24th, and this is the first week of February, so it's coming up fast. So I guess talk about what you touched on in that piece.
I had like 15 or 16 guys most likely to be traded. We didn't speculate where they're going to go or what, but which players teams can really use at the deadline. And as guys get traded, it's going to be updated. We're going to throw more in there. So it'll definitely be something to check out.
Pajot to the Islanders. Pajot to the Islanders.
I saw that rumbling. Yeah. So there's Kreider. There's Georgiev. Maybe Georgiev could be on the move before our next show. But Ristolainen was one I know that was on there as well. So looking forward to checking that one out. And everybody out there should on NHL.com. So for Bob Bender, Dave Satriano, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. And we'll talk to you again next time.